Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 9 at 17,158. S&P 500 up 4 at 2016. NASDAQ down 11 at 4,891. Yield on the 10-year Treasury unchanged at 2.25%. Oil down 87 cents at $35.89 per barrel. Gold up $3.10 at $1,078.50 per ounce. Dow Industrial Average had its greatest opening day loss since 2008 yesterday, so today might be considered a tepid recovery, maybe just a reminder that the world did not end with the change of the calendar. China moved to shore up its shaky investor sentiment today following an equity sell-off that rocked the global financial markets on revived concerns about that country's economic slowdown. China's CSI 300 index initially dropped 2%, but a late session rally erased losses. The index closed up 0.3%. State-controlled funds bought equities, and the securities regulator signaled that a selling ban for major investors, which was due to expire this week, may be extended. The People's Bank of China pumped nearly $20 billion into the economy, largest amount since September. The yuan rebounded from a five-year low. The Nikkei 225 share index in Japan finished the day 0.4% lower. The Hang Seng index in Hong Kong closed 0.7% down. European stocks rose, the FTSE 100 in London up 0.7% for the day, Euro Stoxx 50 index up 0.4%. Kuwait recalled its ambassador from Iran. That announcement, the latest in an unfolding regional row that escalated with Saudi Arabia's execution of a Shiite cleric over the weekend. Saudi Arabia's embassy in Tehran was ransacked, set on fire Saturday. Saudi Arabia broke off diplomatic ties with Iran in response. And yesterday, Saudi allies Bahrain and Sudan followed suit, a diplomatic downgrade by the United Arab Emirates as well. The Strait of Hormuz, which connects the Persian Gulf with the Arabian Sea, carries about 20% of the world's petroleum and about 35% of the petroleum traded by sea, making it a highly important strategic location. At almost any other time, an escalating diplomatic conflict between OPEC members Iran and Saudi Arabia would mean a spike in oil prices, even if temporary. But this latest problem saw prices dip slightly yesterday, and today prices dropped to a two-week low. That should give us some indication about the strength of the downtrend in oil. President Obama announced executive actions on gun control today in the wake of mass shootings across the country. The executive action will require all gun dealers to be licensed, including those who sell online and at gun shows, clamping down on dealers who pass themselves off as hobbyists or collectors. It closes a loophole that allows people to acquire guns through gun trust without background checks and increases the responsibility of gun dealers for reporting missing guns. It also includes a plan to hire more staff to process background checks and enforce gun laws, and allocates $500 million to mental health care. Puerto Rico bracing for lawsuits following the island's second default in the past 5 months. Governor Alejandro Garcia Padilla says every dollar used to pay lawyers will be a dollar not available to pay creditors. The U.S. territory was able to pay the majority of the nearly $1 billion due to bondholders on Monday, but a series of transfers from revenue bonds to general obligation bonds was not enough. Puerto Rico defaulted on two of the 13 bonds that had scheduled payments. Because of the New Year's Day holiday, all of the due dates were extended until the close of business Monday. CoreLogic reports U.S. home prices rose 0.5% in November, representing a 6.3% year-over-year gain. Arizona posted a 5.9% gain in the last 12 months. Automakers are reporting a record year for sales. New vehicle sales in 2015 totaled 17.47 million, topping the record-setting sales of 2000. Fiat Chrysler reported its 69th straight monthly gain in sales, a record for Fiat Chrysler, but they missed analyst estimates. Nissan achieved its best-ever December in the U.S., with strong sales of trucks, minivans, and sport utility vehicles, including its premium Infiniti brand. For the full year, Fiat Chrysler reported 2.2 million vehicles sold, up 7% from 2014. Nissan, with 1.35 million, also up 7%. General Motors sold 3.1 million vehicles, up 5%. Ford, with 2.6 million, also up 5%. Sales of Ford's F-Series pickups jumped 15%. The trucks remain the top-selling vehicle line in America for the 34th consecutive year. Toyota, with 2.5 million vehicles, up 5% as well. Honda, posting 1.58 million vehicles sold, an increase of 3%. Early news from the Consumer Electronics Show, NVIDIA has revealed a new lunchbox-sized supercomputer for self-driving cars, saying Volvo will be the device's first customer. The Drive PX2 has computing power equivalent to 150 MacBook Pro computers, can deliver up to 24 trillion deep learning operations per second, allowing the computer to use artificial intelligence to program itself to recognize driving situations. Partnerships between automakers in Silicon Valley on self-driving technologies appears to be taking center stage at the annual tech conference. The coolest news out of the CES might be the debut of a new prototype electric car from Faraday. It features 1,000 horsepower, goes from 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. The vehicle looks like a cross between a Formula One race car and the Batmobile. Faraday officials say they'll sell a vehicle in a couple of years' time, and they're a few weeks from breaking ground on a 3 million square foot factory in Nevada. The Batmobile prototype is not what they will eventually sell. They'll probably come out with a more practical sedan as its first offering. Facebook's Oculus will release its virtual reality Rift headset to consumers for pre-order tomorrow, but one big question remains: how much will it cost? In a blog post Monday, Oculus revealed very little except that pre-orders begin 8 a.m. Pacific time tomorrow, and that each headset will come with two free games. Last year, Oculus executives hinted that the Rift headset and a computer needed to run it would cost no more than $1,500 together. New York City will begin replacing thousands of payphones this month with free Wi-Fi hotspots that will sit on top of a 9-foot-tall box featuring electronic advertising screens, and there'll be an Android tablet that can be used to place free phone calls. The $200 million project called Link NYC, being run by CityBridge, a joint venture between three tech companies, Qualcomm, Civic Smartscapes, and Intersection, which has backing from Alphabet. 2015 was a record-setting year for mergers and acquisitions. Buyers spent $3.8 trillion, highest amount ever, surpassing the previous record set in 2007, just before the financial crisis. The fourth quarter was the busiest of last year, with $1.3 trillion in transactions announced, passing the trillion-dollar mark for the first time since the second quarter of 2007. And the calendar for 2016 looks busy, as companies will try to wrap up previously announced deals, including AB InBev and SAB Miller, Anthem and Cigna, Aetna and Humana, Shire and Baxalta, plus Halliburton and Baker Hughes, to name just a few of the bigger deals. And the FCC is delaying its informal deadline by 15 days to review the proposed $56 billion merger of rivals Charter Communications and Time Warner. The break will give the agency more time to assess the impact of the proposed deal on Time Warner's regional sports networks and Charter's residential pricing and packaging. Fairchild Semiconductor has received a revised takeover proposal from a group led by China Resources Holding and Hua Capital Management, The improved bid would value the company's equity at $2.46 billion. Phoenix-based ON Semiconductor in November agreed to buy Fairchild Semiconductor for $2.4 billion to bolster its business of making power management chips. Fairchild said this morning that its board still supports the deal with ON Semiconductor and is not making any recommendation related to the revised proposal, but they did acknowledge the offer from the Chinese investor group would constitute a superior proposal. Meanwhile, Chandler-based Microchip Technology planning to submit a binding offer for Atmel by early next week, challenging the latter's planned merger with Dialog Semiconductor. Reuters reported last month that Microchip was the undisclosed bidder that made a $3.8 billion unsolicited offer for Atmel. Atmel said on December 11th it had started negotiations with an unidentified party that made a $9 per share offer that could potentially be deemed more valuable than a cash and stock acquisition proposal by Dialog that was accepted in September. More tech and media deals. Dell is close to selling its Perot Systems unit to French IT consulting firm Atos for $4 billion. Activision Blizzard confirmed its acquisition of Major League Gaming. They did not disclose the financial details. China's Dalian Wanda Group has sealed a deal to take a majority stake in U.S. movie studio Legendary Entertainment. Values the company at somewhere between $3 and $4 billion. Harman Kardon, best known for JBL and Harman Kardon Audio Gear, said it agreed to buy automotive cybersecurity company TowerSec. Terms of that deal were not disclosed. And if all this M&A activity has you thinking that stocks are a little overvalued, well, you might be right. Citigroup today downgraded U.S. stocks to underweight. They didn't call for a definitive end to the U.S. bull market, but they think there might be better opportunities elsewhere. Citi assigned an underweight ranking to the U.S., the U.K., and Australia, specifically the sectors of consumer staples, utilities, and industrials. Citi assigned an overweight ranking to Europe, excluding the U.K., and Japan, specifically the sectors of IT, financials, and healthcare. And finally, we answer the most pressing question of the day. The Powerball drawing is at 10:59 p.m. tomorrow Eastern Time, 8:59 p.m. Arizona Time. Ticket sales usually close down about an hour before the drawing. Jackpot expected to top $450 million. The odds of winning about 1 in 292 million. If you buy two tickets, your odds are still about 1 in 292 million. We invite you to follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio. The daily blog is eatthebankers.com.